Welcome to the program for Monday, March 12, 2012, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, focusing on duplication, overlap, and fragmentation in the federal government, such as the name of a report from the Government Accountability Office, opportunities to reduce duplication, overlap, and fragmentation, achieve savings, and enhance revenue presented to the Congress by Comptroller General Gene Dodaro. And I had a chance to sit down with General Dodaro and talk to him about some of the compelling issues in this report, some of the things that affect the federal government. GAO reports that there are 51 areas they found where programs may be able to achieve greater efficiencies or become more effective in providing government services. And I asked General Dodaro to talk about not only this report, but the what he found and what the agency found in this report in context with the report from 2011.
We thought it was important to track progress from the 81 areas last year. And so we did so. And we found that 4 of the 81 areas have been completely addressed, 60 of the areas have been partially addressed, and 17 had not been addressed. So we thought it was important to provide a scorecard so that Congress and the administration could have a clear indication of the progress that was being made. So some progress is being made, but additional opportunities remain.
So we're looking at 51 new areas in this 2012 report. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Of those 51, they break down in what ways?
32 of the 51 areas are opportunities to address potential duplication, overlap, and fragmentation in federal programs and activities. 19 of them are areas where there are additional cost savings opportunities or opportunities to enhance revenues.
Now, how are the cost savings or revenue enhancements from those 19 different than the savings or revenue enhancement that you would gain by eliminating the duplication in the 32?
They're separate and reported separately in the report because they're not necessarily a result of overlap, fragmentation, duplication. They're just more, you know, straightforward opportunities to save money or enhance revenues and don't necessarily involve any overlap, duplication, or fragmentation.
We'll talk first about the 32 areas of duplication, overlap, or fragmentation. First, though, a question about, I guess, categorization. There have been arguments I've seen across government that there are cases where duplication is explainable or, in some cases, even desirable. Is it the role of the Government Accountability Office to pass that kind of judgment, or just to point out where you see duplication and let others decide how it should be dealt with?
Well, we acknowledge in our reports that some duplication may be warranted and, in fact, desirable in some cases. For example, in security matters, you may need to have redundancies. And so what we try to do is point out areas where we think that the potential duplication is unnecessary and can be draining efficiencies or making the programs less effective. So we try to distinguish that from the beginning, Francis, but ultimately, you know, the case that we make is for the Congress and administration to make judgments on. And in many cases, we find that it's very difficult to quantify the amount of duplication because there's a lot of information that's missing. In many cases, we're not able to gather the information. And in many other cases, there really are many programs that have never had a proper evaluation. So we don't really know how effective the programs are as well. So if you see, many of our recommendations go to collecting better data, coordinating more effectively, and gathering more information on the effectiveness of federal programs and activities.
Either in your sense, after examining what you find, or in the data that you're able to collect, is it your view that agencies are getting better at collecting this information to then be able to provide to you and to the inspectors general at their agencies for audit purposes?
Well, we're seeing some signs that they're taking this seriously, but there's a ways to go to actually collect the information and follow through. Now, one very encouraging development is that there is now the implementation is underway for the 2010 Government Performance and Results Modernization Act, which requires now agencies beginning this year to publish on a public website their performance measures to keep them up to date and to attest to their reliability. So there's a lot more transparency and accountability required now of federal departments and agencies to generate and to publicly make available this type of information. So I think that will really change the landscape quite a bit and hopefully generate more information available to the Congress and the public about these federal programs and activities.
Is it possible to categorize the work that agencies need to do to improve their data, or is each agency or each program so unique that the challenges are dramatically different enough that you can't really do it that way?
Each program, it really is unique. Some programs, for example, are delivered through state and local governments or nonprofit entities. Others are direct federal to citizen involvement. And so each one is a little bit different. But generally speaking, there's really a need to have program evaluations done and to collect more reliable information. There are different ways that you can do those evaluations, but each federal agency is really responsible for doing that under the Government Performance and Results Act, and it's just a matter of follow-through to make sure that actually takes place.
This question is a little more conceptual or maybe even existential, but I'll ask it anyway. You write in this report, where information has not been available that would provide conclusive evidence of duplication, overlap, or fragmentation, we often refer to potential duplication. Are you referring there to information that maybe is not available or is not even collectible, or is it your view that pretty much everything can be quantified to a sufficient degree, and you're just looking at information that is not yet available or hasn't yet been collected?
Yes. Well, there are really two dimensions of that. One is that where we find clear fragmentation and overlap, that those, in our experience, are harbingers of duplication down the road if they're not addressed through proper coordination techniques. So that's one sort of definition of potential duplication. And the areas that you mentioned in terms of the information, that it's really information that should be collected that isn't. Now, in many cases, there are ways to quantify these areas. In other cases, there needs to be more qualitative information. So you really need to have an effort. In our opinion, everything where the federal government's spending money and allocating money has a purpose, and it's trying to achieve a specific outcome. And unless you have good information that can provide that type of feedback, whether it's achieving its objectives, whether it's quantitative information or qualitative information that has rigor associated with it, that's essential to know if the government's getting a good return on its investment.
You mentioned the GIPR Modernization Act passed in January 2011. It's a little bit over a year old, and agencies say that it has changed the way that they're doing business. Overall, are you at the GAO seeing that also as you collect this information?
Yes, I think. You know, we have roles under the legislation to do evaluation. Our first evaluation is due next year as to whether or not agencies are conducting all the planning responsibilities under the Modernization Act effectively. And then later we have reviews that are required every 2 years as to whether they're using the information collected to make good decisions and to produce the right outcomes. I think you see a good sign in the president's budget submission this year where they identify 14 cross-cutting goals and objectives. That is one of the requirements of the act, was to identify things across departments and agencies. The 1993 legislation required information to be collected by department and agency. And so this is a really important change. I was pleased to see that the administration had those cross-cutting goals and that there were so many of them identified in the budget submission. The challenge now is to make sure that there's effective implementation.
That's Comptroller General Gene Dodaro, the head of the Government Accountability Office, talking about the 2012 annual report, opportunities to reduce duplication, overlap, and fragmentation, achieve savings, and enhance revenue. Throughout the rest of the hour, more of my conversation with General Dodaro, and toward the end of the hour, We'll take you to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing at which General Dodaro introduced this report, and you'll hear some questions for him from the chairman of the Oversight Committee, Congressman Daryl Issa of California. All of that in this hour of In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Want the facts on replicating and recovering data more efficiently? Then listen to this. In a recent survey, 87% of public sector organizations rank data deduplication as a top priority. So if that's a priority for you, you're not alone. In the same survey, one respondent graduated from tape systems by using deduplication with data domain and found that many more iterations of backups could be retained on disk. All this in the smallest possible footprint for offsite replication over relatively low bandwidth circuits. Here's another fact. EMC solutions replicate and recover data more efficiently while decreasing your storage footprint by 20 to 30 times. Want to hear more facts? As EMC's federal distributor and GSA contract holder, Carahsoft can provide you with government pricing and expert knowledge. For more information, visit www.emccasefiles.com. That's emccasefiles.com.
Nominations are now open for the 5th Annual FCEA Bethesda Government-Wide Initiatives Excellence Awards. These awards recognize individuals or a group of individuals whose contributions in information technology have significance across and beyond their agency or organization. Nominations are for federal employees, with the exception of one Outstanding Achievement Award for industry, and can be made by government or industry partners. Go to fceabethesda.org/nomination to make your nomination. Deadlines for nominations is Friday, March 23rd.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
The Caps Kids Club, presented by Dasani, is where kids get in the game. Sign up your child for free, and you'll receive a monthly newsletter, access to interactive games, and the chance to win Caps prizes. Or pay just $15 and receive an exclusive membership gift with an Alex Ovechkin wall decal, invitations to member-only events, open skates at Kettler Capital's Iceplex, and much more. For more info and to join, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCaps.com.
The University of Maryland's Clark School of Engineering, along with the Maryland Cybersecurity Center, offers a new master's degree in cybersecurity engineering specifically designed for the high-tech cyber workforce. Graduates will learn the latest technologies and techniques to be leaders in the defense of our nation's critical infrastructures. As the region's highest-ranked engineering graduate school, the Clark School will put their strengths behind your career. Learn more about the Master's in Cybersecurity Engineering at advancedengineering.umd.edu/cyber.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. We'll be broadcasting live from the Human Capital Management Defense Conference, and we'll interview some of the top leaders in HR with advice on how to balance downsizing while keeping the best people. Plus, it's Sunshine Week, but in some corners of the government, the shade never quite seems to lift. Those stories and more tomorrow morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Comptroller General Gene Dodaro, and General Dodaro talking with me about the report released on February 28th, the 2012 annual report called Opportunities to Reduce Duplication, Overlap, and Fragmentation, Achieve Savings, and Enhance Revenue. The General the Government Accountability Office, finding 51 areas where they say programs may be able to achieve greater efficiencies or become more effective in providing government services. And in this highlight, I asked General Dodaro about the permanence of some of these changes.
Another challenge that has presented itself with issues like this from time to time over the years is the issue of making these kinds of changes permanent. Are you confident that because of this being codified in legislation as it was in the Modernization Act, that this is not something that agencies can skate around in the future, that this is something that regardless of what administration is in power and regardless of leadership at GAO, that this is a process that's going to stay in place?
It's always important to have statutory underpinnings for these management reforms, and that will guarantee that it will continue during changes in administration. Now, different administrations can give different emphasis to it, so that's why we always encourage strong congressional oversight to make sure that the laws are adhered to and that there's continuity over time. This has been important, whether we're talking about the Chief Financial Officers Act, the Clinger-Cohen Act on IT reforms, the Government Performance and Results Act as well. And so, first, it's very important to have it in law. Secondly, you have to have effective implementation regardless of the administration, and you need congressional oversight.
I am a book nerd, General, and I read the dedications of books and try to figure out, if they're not immediately obvious, the significance of the people that are mentioned. And so in your in the letter that you wrote that introduces this report, I'm curious as to the contributions of Janet St. Laurent and Zena Merritt of your team that were sufficient enough that you wanted to recognize them.
They were responsible for coordinating this activity across GAO. What this report represents is a compilation of work that we have done for many congressional committees and under different mandates, as well as the requirement to produce the report itself. So it requires coordination across GAO to put together, and so they were in charge of it, and we wanted to give them special recognition for that responsibility.
All right, I'd like to go down the list of 32 areas that you referred to earlier, duplication, overlap, and fragmentation, and point out a couple of them that seem to be ongoing topics on my show and in the conversations that I hear across agencies that they're dealing with. President Obama, a couple of years ago in the State of the Union address, mentioned the issue of food safety and the number of agencies that have some piece of overseeing food safety, and that's the first on at the top of this list. Where are we today when it comes to agencies at least being able to coordinate and divvy up food safety?
Well, the first development that we point to in that area that we had last year was dealing with the coordination of regulation of food safety. And the President's Food Safety Working Group has been reconstituted. We point that out as a particular development. We point out, though, that there needs to be a comprehensive plan in place. And I've discussed this with the administration and plan to continue to have a dialogue with them in order to do that. The Congress passed some legislation, but it gave additional authorities to FDA, but it did not introduce, you know, enough comprehensive reform and risk-based practices. What's in this year's report that's different has to do with protecting the public in terms of the roles and responsibilities to make sure that there aren't, from a national security and an economic security standpoint, that people do not try to harm the food system. And here, so we're pointing out this is more like a homeland security type of issue to protect against potential terrorist attacks and major disasters. And here, what we find is there had been some better coordination in the past that's sort of fallen in disrepair and needs to be resurrected and strengthened going forward. And there are opportunities for the agencies to work together with the administration in order to strengthen their opportunities to make sure the public's well protected here.
Is this a money issue, or is this just a structural slash management slash we haven't paid as much attention as we should have?
It's more the latter than the former.
The next one I want to ask you about, sir, is the personnel background investigations issue. The Office of Personnel Management has spent a lot of time and a lot of resources, both money and people-wise, to try to cut the time that background checks take and to try to cut the cost of those background checks. This report says the Office of Management and Budget should take action to prevent agencies from making potentially duplicative investments in electronic case management and adjudication systems. Is there a reason that you were able to find that OPM shouldn't be the point people in government for this and maybe take a burden away from the other agencies that are trying to do it?
Well, most of the background investigations really occur at the Department of Defense, and so and they've developed a system that we think could be used as well. Our main point here is that OMB is in charge of this council that coordinates the activities on the personnel background investigations, and thus in a position to ensure that there's coordination. You know, we have been carefully monitoring the implementation of reforms in this area, and because there had been enough progress, as you recall, Francis, we've removed this area from our high-risk update last year. But in these case management and adjudication systems that you mentioned, what we find is every agency trying to develop their own system versus leveraging systems that are out there to prevent redundant investments and also to provide opportunities for agencies to exchange information more seamlessly to help in reciprocity type of arrangements on these background investigations. So it's really OMB's position on that council that we're directing the recommendation to them.
That's Comptroller General Gene Dodaro on the talking to me about the report that the GAO has released called Opportunities to Reduce Duplication, Overlap, and Fragmentation, Achieve Savings, and Enhance Revenue, presented to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. And my conversation with General Dodaro continuing in a moment. You'll also hear some of the hearing at which he presented that report later this hour on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"Virtualization abstracts the operating system and the data from the device. It provides a certain amount of agility and flexibility from a technological standpoint. Using virtualization and virtual desktop infrastructure to liberate the data from the endpoint device and bring it into the private cloud, that's key. The data in particular, it provides so much more flexibility for multiple devices to be mobile and geographically disparate and still have access to that data."
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
Life's big decisions require some research. You get comparison reports before you buy a car. You hire an inspector when buying a house. You might even look up someone online before a date. But when you go to pick your primary care physician, sometimes you only get a name and number. That hardly seems fair. After all, the only person who has more influence on your health is you. It's different at Kaiser Permanente. All our doctors are listed online with information that paints a picture of who they are, so you know you're picking a doctor who is right for you, right for your family, and someone you can email. Oh, here's one for Dr. Amy Benoulis, who went to Northwestern. Dr. Lindsay Strickland is interested in chronic disease management and is accepting new patients. Bingo! Become a member, and no matter whom you choose, you get a true advocate for your health. So log on to kp.org/doctor and check us out. It could be the beginning of a healthy relationship. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Good eating. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Nutritionist Janet DeJesus isn't big on short-term diets. She prefers plans to make long-term lifestyle changes. People often make goals to go on diets in the new year, but they are often short.
Changing the way you eat and also increasing your physical activity is really worth it for your health. Give it a try and don't get too frustrated. We all stumble. Keep it up throughout the year.
DeJesus is with the National Institutes of Health, which has two stellar eating plans, DASH and TLC. They were designed to promote blood pressure and blood cholesterol control, but experts rank them as very good ways to have complete, balanced nutrition with the right calorie counts. U.S. News and World Report ranked them as the number one and number two eating plans. Also, unlike some other plans, they're free. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
As cybersecurity threats intensify, federal agencies are reviewing their technology management framework, looking towards increased reliance on continuous monitoring and collaboration. Join AFSEA Bethesda on March 23rd at the Bethesda North Marriott as a panel of chief information security officers from DOT, DOJ, and DOE share their thoughts on how collaborative initiatives will redefine the security spectrum in the coming year. Register today at afseabethesda.org/marbreakfast.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In this hour, my conversation with Comptroller General Gene Dodaro, talking about the GAO's 2012 annual report, opportunities to reduce duplication, overlap, and fragmentation, achieve savings, and enhance revenue. And in this part of the conversation, General Dodaro and I talking about some of the findings of the report as it pertains to information sharing in government. Another issue where information sharing and exchanging both information and human capital is important is the cybersecurity area. It appears to some outside observers that agencies are scrambling to hire people and train people, and it's almost a competition amongst the agencies for some of the same folks. Is that what you're getting at in that area of this report?
Yeah, we're getting at two things. One is there are opportunities to make sure that the definitions of the workforce and the qualifications and the personnel standards are harmonized better. Right now you have separate efforts being pursued that we think would be, the government would be better served by having a well-coordinated position across government and common definitions and standards. And then there are also opportunities to consolidate training activities as well. And so we think these both recommendations will help improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the cybersecurity workforce efforts.
One of the issues that is on the minds of just about every federal employee at this point, with the tenor in the country of the attitude that some folks have toward the federal government security, personal security is on people's minds. One of the things that you touch on in this report, federal facility risk assessments, where agencies are looking at managing their facility security on their own, trying to assess risk, but also paying the Homeland Security Department for risk assessments that they're not getting done. What are you seeing there as far as progress? Anything?
Well, the Department of Homeland Security Federal Protective Service has efforts underway to develop a new facility risk assessment methodology. They've only done four since 2009, though, and so they need to get the new methodology up and running and implemented. Then they also need to find out why agencies want their own assessments as well. And so there's an opportunity there for them to make sure that whatever new methodology they're putting in place will meet the agency's requirements as well. Otherwise, you might eliminate some redundancies, but if the agencies don't feel that the Federal Protective Service's assessments are going to satisfy all their needs, they're still going to provide additional redundancies in doing their own activity. So 2 points. Federal Protective Service needs to get their new methodology implemented. Then they need to get feedback from the agencies secondarily in order to make sure that it's done efficiently and effectively and meets everyone's needs.
When you were confirmed as Comptroller General, one of the things that you and I talked about, General, was the role that GAO plays in financial literacy. And I know that is something that personally you take very seriously. What are you seeing when it comes to financial literacy, especially duplication across various agencies of the government?
Yes, both our reports last year as well as this year touch on financial literacy. One of the things that we cited last year was a study done by the administration which highlighted 56 different activities. This year we dug in deeper and we focused on the 13 major program activities in financial literacy. And identified, costs associated with those programs as well. Our recommendations really go toward them continuing their efforts to coordinate. And one new development that's occurred and why we focused on it again this year has been the creation of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau over within the Federal Reserve to focus on consumer financial protections. And there's a need to coordinate their activities very carefully with the rest of the federal government so duplication isn't built in going forward. Now, they're starting. They've reported to us that they're coordinating with these other agencies, but this is an area that needs careful monitoring going forward to make sure that there aren't unnecessary duplication.
The second part of this report, the second session, summarizes 19 additional opportunities for, as you mentioned before, cost reductions or revenue enhancements. And I have a couple of these I'd like to ask you about, General. The first of those is pertains to defense headquarters. Is this the overhead issue that Secretary Gates talked about before he left office?
Yes, it is. And we cite the efforts that were made under his initiative in order to deal with this. And what we say, though, is that there's not really good information available to ensure that they've really taken a close look at everything that needs to be taken a look at the defense, headquarters and overhead activities. And so we're encouraging them to get more information on this, take a careful look at it, and to make sure that they've addressed all the areas that need to be addressed in that area. So they made a good start, but it was a quick effort. It was something that was done without a lot of the information that could be made available, and so we're encouraging them to continue their efforts in this area in a more systematic manner.
That's Comptroller General Gene Dodaro, my conversation with him speaking about GAO's 2012 annual report, opportunities to reduce duplication, overlap, and fragmentation, achieve savings, and enhance revenue. It's on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. One more part of my conversation with General Dodaro, and then we'll take you to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing at which General Dodaro released this report. And to hear some of the questions from the chairman of that committee, Congressman Darrell Issa, that's all coming up on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Do you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's third annual Causey Awards. Together we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search Causey Award.
Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Comptroller General Gene Dodaro, my guest in this hour of the program. My conversation with him about the 2012 annual report from the GAO, opportunities to reduce duplication, overlap, and fragmentation, achieve savings, and enhance revenue. Later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com, we will post for you, in addition to my entire conversation with General Dodaro, we'll also post a link for the report. It's 426 pages long, so you'll want to read the report, not print it out. But we'll have that link posted for you at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And we also have a video link for the hearing of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee at which General Dodaro introduced this report. And we'll hear from that, so highlight of that hearing in just a few minutes on In Depth with Francis Rose. First, though, more of my conversation with General Dodaro about what they found among these 51 areas where programs might be able to achieve greater efficiencies or become more effective.
The Auto Recovery Office at the Labor Department, it was the subject of, my opinion, the most, shall we say, direct language. You write, unless Secretary of Labor can demonstrate how the Auto Recovery Office has uniquely assisted auto communities, Congress may wish to consider prohibiting the Department of Labor from spending any of its appropriations on the Auto Recovery Office and instead require the department direct the funds to other federal programs. It sounds to me, if I may paraphrase, like you're saying, either show Congress that it's worth the money or Congress should cut you off. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, we're saying that they could redirect the money to the communities directly through other federal programs as an option as well. You know, we have been following this office as part of our statutory responsibilities to audit the Troubled Asset Relief Program, which provided relief to the auto industry. And so, you know, our point is that this office was stood up, and like a lot of federal activities, it should be able to cite, you know, what its outcomes were that it was achieved. And if not, the money could be potentially redirected to go to the communities rather than pay for, you know, administrative costs.
Overall, General, as we wrap up, and I'm grateful for your time today. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this. Overall, I had two general thoughts as I looked over this and thought about the fact that you found 81 opportunities last year and you're finding 51 this year. My thought is that could be good because you found, in raw numbers, 30 fewer opportunities that you felt the need to present to Congress this year. On the other hand, looking at the follow-up report that we talked about at the beginning of our conversation, 21% of those haven't even been touched yet. So I wonder if you wind up adding the 17 that have not been addressed at all back to the 51, we're almost back where we started last year.
Well, here's our perspective on that point, Francis. First of all, you know, we are trying to do one sweep through the entire federal government over a three-year cycle. So we're two-thirds of the way through it. And we weren't able to look, across the entire federal government just in one year. And so we'll have one more year where I think we'll identify some additional opportunities. After that, I think the number of opportunities that we identify should diminish. If we've focused on all the major opportunities over time. Secondly, we point out in our report that many of these areas are very difficult areas to deal with, and it would require careful deliberation and some time to be able to address those issues. I was very pleased that we had as many hearings before the Congress as we've had and discussions on the on these issues. I was also pleased that the administration required agencies as part of their budget submissions this year to address all the 81 areas that we identified in the report last year, and I'm confident they'll continue to focus on these areas. So there are opportunities. There are difficult areas in many cases. Some areas it's simple action that's required, and most of them, though, it's careful thought and deliberation. And like a lot of things, we're going to help. They need to stay with us until we get the benefits out of the programs and activities.
The conclusion of my conversation with Comptroller General Gene Dodaro, you can hear the entire conversation posted later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. General Dodaro talking about the 2012 annual report, opportunities to reduce duplication, overlap, and fragmentation, achieve savings, and enhance revenue, released by the Government Accountability Office at a hearing of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. We'll take you to that hearing in just a moment so you can hear the questions that Committee Chairman Daryl Issa had for General Dodaro on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Looking to rent or buy in Northern Virginia? Attend the 2012 Northern Virginia Housing Expo, Saturday, March 24th at Arlington's Washington Lee High School. This event is free and open to the public and features 60 exhibitors, including the local housing authorities, property managers, lenders, realtors, mortgage companies, and more. You'll also find workshops on Are You Ready to Rent? And Are You Ready to Buy? Credit scores and home financing. More information available at NovaHousingExpo.org.
Max out your privacy settings on social networks. Restrict as much as you can what people can see of you. Close all your old accounts. Chances are it's got an email that you've reused. They could guess the maiden name of your mother or your first pet or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the celebrities whose email accounts were hacked, their challenge question was something that you could look up on the internet.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Please join Tom Temin on March 20th at noon for a dynamic panel discussion on unified communications, connecting people to people anywhere, anytime, on any device. Sponsored by General Dynamics IT, featuring Mike Krieger, Deputy CIO, G6, U.S. Army, Horace Blackman, Director of IT Services at the Department of Veterans Affairs, Cindy Moran, Senior Director, DISA's Communications Division, and John Walsh, VP Unified Communications at General Dynamics IT. March 20th at 12 p.m.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
You know about the benefits of virtualization. EMC's next-generation unified storage and backup, optimized for VMware, can run virtual applications 3 times faster, reduce backup times by 90%, streamline VMware storage management and single-step restores, decrease application storage by 50%, and reduce backup storage by 40 to 60 times. Want more benefits? As EMC's federal distributor and GSA contract holder, Carahsoft can provide you with government pricing and expert knowledge. For more information, visit EMCCaseFiles.com.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Throughout the hour, you've been hearing my conversation with Comptroller General Gene Dodaro talking about The 2012 annual report from the GAO, Opportunities to Reduce Duplication, Overlap, and Fragmentation, Achieve Savings, and Enhance Revenue. General Dodaro introducing this report at a hearing of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on February 28th, later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We'll put up a video link so you can watch the entire hearing anytime you want and see the testimony and the questions for General Dodaro. In this highlight, questions from the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Congressman Daryl Issa.
General, you mentioned what the administration got, what they closed, what they partially addressed. In your estimation, and I say this because one of my predecessors, Mr. Waxman, held a hearing just to ridicule the Bush administration for how many they had been notified to, both IGs and GAO reports, and how many they'd closed, and didn't give much credit for the fact that the vast majority of them were from roughly the last year. What would you say was reasonable with any president to have closed, and how many more of these that have been partially acted on, the 60, would you expect to make further progress and be completed the following year? In other words, should we look at a one-year timeline, and I want you to give us the one-year time, but is this a satisfactory direction on these other sub-81 where we're looking and the final report at the end of 2 or 2.5 years would look different?
Yeah, first, I would say last year's report was an accumulation of issues we identified previously as well. So I think there was more than 1 year opportunity to deal with some of those issues.
You mean you had to reiterate what hadn't been fixed either by this president or his predecessor?
That's correct. Or actions that we'd recommended to the Congress and they hadn't taken action on. So this year we're positing new ones. So the 1 year time frame, I would expect would be more reasonable as a benchmark compared to what you were talking about. But I would hope that of the 60 areas that are partially addressed, that many of those areas can be closed within the next year activities. I think it's within the grasp of the administration and the Congress to do that, and I would hope to see progress. I was pleased that the administration required the agencies through their budget submission process to address all the areas that we identified in the reports. So that was a good step, but there needs to be more assertive action, particularly across government. You know, many of the areas we identified transcend one department and agency, so they really require OMB and the administration to take a very active role in looking at these activities across government.
Well, and I'm going to go back now to my opening statement and what I alluded to. I've looked at the military both before and after Goldwater Nichols. Before Goldwater Nichols, as an Army officer, I thought Army, I bled Army, all I really thought about was beat Navy, because we didn't care about those former Army people known as the Air Force. So that changed to a great extent with the requirement for senior officers as part of their career to have joint assignments, very often being trained in another war college or another command and general staff. How is that going, and is it a partial blueprint for a more government-wide system, particularly with civil service? Do we need to cross-pollinate in order to drive down this tendency to stovepipe differences that may be of no purpose other than to facilitate additional cost?
Yeah, that clarification that you mentioned of roles and responsibility and the jointness in rotations and training programs, joint exercises, that part of the Goldwater's Nichols reform has gone very well, in our opinion, made a material difference and greatly improved the ability of the department to carry out operations. On the side, in terms of the management reforms under Goldwater Nichols, the requirements part of the process, they introduced some joint processes, that's not going as well. In fact, many of the areas that I mentioned in my opening statement in our reports are because that management of those joint requirements aren't going as effectively as they could be. Now, in terms of the lessons learned on the jointness, as you point out, I think there are tremendous opportunities to use that in the rest of the federal government. In fact, we've pointed out where that could be expanded with the national security agencies to be more effective as well, but also with the civilian agencies. I think it's very important. More and more problems are requiring a number of agencies to work together to resolve those problems, whether we're talking Homeland Security, food safety, or a number of other areas. So I think that's an excellent course to pursue, Mr. Chairman. We'd be happy to support you in your efforts in that arena.
Well, in my final 15 or so seconds, do you also support the idea that reorganization of government would need to be done much more in the Hoover Commission fashion, one in which we start off with a much larger goal, much more jointness, if you will, between executive and to be honest, your organization and a few members of Congress, to set much bigger goals, much longer, for a long-term reorganization, including some of the things you're presenting today?
I think that has tremendous potential, and I'm in favor of that. I think, you know, there is really no entity in the federal government focused on looking at organizational issues on a continual basis and having strategic planning, being able to look to see if we have the government that we need for the 21st century. And I think having a commission, a Hoover type of commission, is an excellent way to build consensus on that. Because if you're going to have it work effectively, you need consensus. And a commission is a good way to develop consensus and take a broad view of it. And I think looking holistically makes a lot of sense, so you don't have unintended consequences as well. And there's no magic one answer in these areas. You can reorganize a lot of different ways. The commission could also focus on implementation plans. What we've seen, for example, in creating the Department of Homeland Security, we don't think enough attention was made to the implementation plans in that area. That could be rectified by a commission.